The imagery that is employed here by King David as he speaks of God coming in power and working wonderfully to deliver his people and to strike against his enemies is imagery that really is very powerful indeed. It's a picture that we can all immediately, I think, bring to mind some sort of idea of what David is speaking of here. As he speaks of the Lord coming suddenly and powerfully to strike against the Philistines, to deliver his own people, it's like a dam breaking, the breaking out of water. And that torrent of water and that rushes through the breach that has been made, sweeping all before it, a tidal wave surging along with catastrophic power, really. This is the kind of image that came home to David's heart as he thought and witnessed what the Lord had done. God broke out as the breach of waters upon his enemies. David witnessed such a display of God's power in this incident. As we might think of a tidal wave, a flash flood, a dam breaking, a disaster, a catastrophe, a sudden display of catastrophic power, so God came in this incident to work in power among his people. There are times in our lives, I think, when we become conscious of a need for God to make such a breakthrough. We may be conscious of the activity of the enemy, of our own helplessness. We may become sensitive to the fact that there is a restraining of the power of God. We do not see the evidences of his power among us that we would love to see. And there is a desire in our hearts that God would break through. To break through whatever it is that would oppose him, whatever it is that stands in the way of blessing, that God would suddenly and powerfully break through. Such is the opposition that is often faced in the work of God, that we need to see such a display of divine power. When nothing less will do than the sudden, mighty intervention of God in the fullness of his power. That's what David needed, and it's what he witnessed here, as God came and answered a prayer suddenly to deal with the enemies of his people. I think that it is something that we should look for this year, that we might see a breakthrough, that we might see God come suddenly among us and work for his own glory, coming even as a breach of waters. And so what happened at Baal-perazim, I trust, will be something that the Lord writes upon our hearts, and even perhaps with relation to the witness here in Kelowna, or maybe we can think of it especially with relation to the radio work, that God would move in power suddenly to break through and come among us. Now, I'd like for us to think of these few verses in this incident just for a few minutes now, and to think of this divine breakthrough that David witnessed on this occasion. First of all, you will observe that it was the attack of the enemy that made such a breakthrough necessary. Why was it necessary for God to work and to act as he did at Baal-perazim? It was because of the attack of the enemies of God upon the nation, upon the cause of God and of truth here. The attack of the Philistines sets the scene for God to come in power. It is their amassed assault upon the people of God that in this instance is the precursor to God coming in power. That's why God came, that's why his coming was necessary, because of the assault of the enemy. The timing of the attack is particularly noteworthy here. We're told in the verse 17 that it was when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. There the timing of the attack is particularly emphasized. When they heard that they had anointed David king. That was a key moment in Israel's history because it was a point in their history where they were getting in tune with the will of God. David was God's chosen king, appointed by God, anointed by God, commanded by God to be king over Israel. Yet for 7.5 years, David reigned in Hebron, rejected by the rest of the nation. For 2 of those 7.5 years, the nation had remained loyal to Ish-bosheth, the natural son of King Saul. But for 5.5 of those years, Israel was without a king, and yet lived in continuing disobedience to God, rejecting King David. But now, there is a striking change in the nation. Particularly notice in the opening verses of chapter 5, as the elders of the other tribes come to Hebron to meet with David, they mention specifically 3 things that have stirred them to come to anoint David at this time. In verse 1, "Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh." Number 1, there's a blood relation. Number 2, even when Saul was king, David, you were the one that led out the people. But number 3, "The Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel." In other words, here is one of the prominent things in the thinking of the people at this time. This is the will of God. This is what God wants us to do. We are now going to do it. We've lived in disobedience. We've lived in rebellion. But we know now that God has said, David's to reign, and we're going to now obey God. And at that moment, the enemy attacked. It's not without significance that that's when they attack. Because any and every attempt to get right with God will always be counterattacked by the forces of sin and darkness, represented here by the Philistines. Every attempt on the part of God's people to obey Him, to get in tune and get their lives right with His Word, it will immediately be attacked by the devil. It teaches us a very solemn lesson that even when we are living in obedience to God's word, as Israel now had got themselves right, they had straightened things out with the Lord, the enemy attacked. Even when we are living right and get our lives right, we're never far from a situation where we need God to come in power. We are never far removed from a circumstance where we are going to need God to break through. Why? Because as we set ourselves to do what's right, we will never be far away from an attack by the enemy. We are never far away from the determined, steadfast, militant opposition of sin and the world and the devil's crowd. That's never far away. In fact, the closer we get to the Lord and the nearer our lives get to be conformed to the Scripture, the nearer we are to facing the devil's crowd head on. And you get the point, I trust, that I'm making. When we are living right and seeking to do right for the Lord, we are never far, even there, never far from needing God to break through in power. Sometimes we think, well, it's when we're in a backslidden condition, we need God to break through. And that's true. But here Israel had put away their backsliding and had got right with God. And it's at that point the enemy attacks. And it's at that point, in that context, the breakthrough is needed. It's interesting, too, that the attack launched by the Philistines that set the scene for God breaking through in power, follows on from a significant victory, a wonderful victory, in the city of Jerusalem itself. Now, Jerusalem was the very heart of the nation of Israel. Still to this day, it's a closely contested strategic point. And the Palestinians, they want their part, and they're wanting to divide Jerusalem, and Israel's fighting like mad to retain control, because Jerusalem has strategic importance. But do you know that for many, many years, hundreds of years at this point, in round figures, you're talking 500 years, going back to the time of Joshua. You read in Joshua chapter 15, and the verse 63 of that chapter, that the Jebusites couldn't be driven out of Jerusalem. They were going to stay there, and they were going to live among the children of Judah. And they're still here. After all those years, they're still there. They occupied such a fortified place that even the blind and the lame could defend it. Not the best of soldiers, as you can imagine. But nevertheless, the place was so fortified that a blind man could keep an attacker out. A lame man could defend the place. But David took it. A wonderful victory that really was the high point in 500 years of history in the nation. But even though they had reached, as it were, that high point, they were only a heartbeat away from needing God to break through in power. You know, even when we experience some of our best victories, even when we get right with God and live in tune with His Word, we're never far away from needing God to break through. Some Christians may live with the foolish delusion that we don't really need to see a display of God's power. I remember being in a prayer meeting in our own church, where the emphasis was we were praying for God to send us revival and show us His power. And there was an individual there who objected most strongly. We don't need those things. We've got all that we need. No, we're never far away, no matter how good we, or how far we have gone, or how high we have reached in terms of blessing in our Christian life. We still need the breakthrough. We still need to see God come. Circumstances developed here very quickly, and the scene was set where David and his people needed God to break through. Notice the target in this attack. Not only the timing, but the target is here identified in the verse 17. All the Philistines came up, what to do? To seek David. They had their sight set on the king. They had their sights set on David. That's the one they wanted. At one level then, you can see that this is a very personal thing. This is a very personal conflict. David is the target. The Philistines were after David. Every Christian knows something about those personal attacks. Yes, it's true to say that the devil and the world and the wicked will attack the church. Absolutely, they do. But we all know something, I think, of being targeted specifically and individually, where the devil targets us with personal temptations and personal trouble. We know something about that personal attack. On another level, David represented the entire people. They're targeting the king. And so it's an attack upon all there. They wanted David as king. They had made him king. When they attack the king, they attack his subjects. They attack the kingdom. David needs to see God break through for his own personal well-being and safety. The people at large need to see God break through because the king, God's king, is under assault. It's the enemy's plan and tactic to remove God's king from the throne that they've just put him on. In a spiritual parallel, that's always the enemy's tactic, is to remove the king from his position. Christ is our king, King David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, is the king of his people. And when the Christian, either individually or the church corporately, gets to that point where Christ is on the throne, The enemy will attack and we'll need the Lord to break through. If we're going to see that rule of Christ continue, if we're going to continue to know what it is to have Him on the throne, because that's the focus of the enemy's attack. It is to remove His influence from the people. That's always the desire of the enemy. And in the context of that ambition and that purpose, we need to see the Lord break through. We need to see God break through in power against His enemies, or we're going to lose the benefits of being under the rule of God's King. That's what it comes down to. We're going to lose the blessings of being in the kingdom. We can be robbed of those blessings if the enemy can separate us from the King. And that's why we need to see the Lord break through. There are so many pressures in life today, in life on an ordinary level, but especially spiritual pressures, that would seek to drive a wedge between God's people and the Savior, targeting that relationship between the people and their King. Christ is the object of the world's hatred, and it will do anything. This is the great master plan of the devil, and has been all along, to drive a wedge between Christ and His people. That's why we need to see the Lord break through. Now, David needed to see the Lord break through here on this occasion, because he was conscious of the insufficiency of human power. This was one serious enemy. This was a determined foe. This was opposition that no human power could deal with. While David and his men must buckle on the sword and go fight, they knew we need the Lord. We need the Lord. And the attack of the enemy was such, and the nature of the enemy was such, that it made this breakthrough necessary. But notice secondly that God's breakthrough at Baal-perazim comes as a result of David's response to the enemy's attack. Because you see, there is a significant order of events here. The enemy's attack sets the scene for God to break out on the Philistines. But David has done something first. If you like, God is working in power, breaking out on the enemy, but it is in response. It follows on from what David has done. Now look carefully at what David does here. And I think that there are important lessons for us to learn. Because God works in the context of human activity. What's the first thing David does? David heard of it, and he went down to the hold. You think about that, it's something that you could read over and not really pay a lot of attention to, but I think it's an interesting little fact, little detail. David heard of it, and he went down to the hold. What's the hold? What's he referring to? Why, he's referring to Mount Zion. He's referring to that stronghold in Jerusalem that he has just now conquered. The fortress. That's where he goes. A couple of interesting things, little thoughts come together as we think of this little statement. It's the future site of the temple. It's the site of the tabernacle that David himself puts up and puts the Ark of the Covenant in it. You'll find the details of that in the next couple of chapters. And that's where he goes, to the hold. The interesting thing, I think, is that he acts, first of all, to take precautions for his own safety. And I do feel that there is a lesson that we can learn here. David is not acting as a coward. He's not running away from the battle. He's actually getting ready for the battle. But David is not an idiot. He's not foolhardy. He's not going to take unnecessary risks. And I think that the lesson that we can learn here, even from this little detail, is God works for a careful man. God breaks through in power for those who are careful about exposing themselves to the risk of attack by the enemy. David was a brave man, a heart filled with courage. He had a heart like a lion. But David didn't take unnecessary risks. You know, many Christians live in a foolish fashion. They take no precautions to keep themselves from sin or to protect themselves. Like a soldier going out without his armor, many a Christian goes out without his spiritual armor and expects God to keep him safe. God breaks through to protect, to deliver, a man who doesn't take foolish risks. The spiritual lesson I think that we need to learn is that we do need to take what precautions we can to preserve ourselves from sin, from the attack of the devil, from the assaults of the world. We need to be careful. And God breaks through in defense of a careful man. The careless Christian, I don't believe the careless Christian has any prospect of seeing God break through in power. The careless Christian may get into any amount of trouble, but do they have really the prospect of seeing God break through to help them when they have got themselves in the mess that they're in? When they have acted foolishly and unwisely? Here we see a cautious, careful approach to the battle. And it's for that man that God works. In the fortress, he engages in prayer. In the hold, he gets to pray. David heard of it. He went down to the hold. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" Even though David had a duty as king to defend his people, and there is a reason for saying that David could do nothing else but go fight the Philistines, he would not do what was his duty to do until he got in before God and ascertained the mind of the Lord. And had the clear command of God and the promise of God. You'll see that he presents two petitions to the Lord here in verse 19. Will I go? And if I go, will you give me the victory? That was the two requests that he made in his prayer. Will I go, Lord? Here's a man who is not only careful about his own safety, but he's careful about doing the mind of the Lord. He's not going to presume just to rush off and do what he could naturally have said is his duty to do, his responsibility to do. He was careful to find out, what does God want me to do? That's the man God works for. We're setting up the scene here for God to break through. We've seen the context in which the enemy attacks. But we have to pay attention to David's role in the circumstance. We've seen he's a careful man, he's a prayerful man. He's a man who obtains the clear guidance and a definite promise from God. The Lord said, go up. No doubt about it. He had a clear word from God. David was a man in touch with God at this point. The lines of communication are wide open. There's no garbled message here. It's as clear as crystal. David said, will I go? God said, you go. Lord, will you give them into my hand? I'll give them into your hand. As clear a message, as clear a communication as you could ever want to hear. That's the man God works for. That's part of the situation in which God breaks through clear channels of communication between earth and heaven. Then he goes to face the enemy. He comes to Baal-perazim. God could have broken through on the Philistines and David sat at home with his feet up in Mount Zion. If there was the equivalent of a lazy boy in those days, he could have sat in one and God could have done the business out in the valley of Rephaim, about 3 miles or so outside Jerusalem. David didn't have to go there. God could have done it. But God, generally speaking, chooses to work through human agency. Look at how David puts it in the parallel account of 1 Chronicles 14. 1 Chronicles 14 in the verse 11. So they came up to Baal-perazim and David smote them there. And then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters. God worked, but through David, by David's hand. It was before me, he says in 2 Samuel 5 and 20. God hath broken forth before me, in my presence, at my face, by my hand. God used human means. And as David takes up the sword and engages in warfare against the Philistines, as was his duty to do, both as king and at the command of God, the Lord breaks through. And as we go to do our duty, as we do put on the sword and the armor and take a stand for God, the Lord breaks through upon his enemies. That divine breakthrough inevitably accompanies a diligent, obedient, careful approach to the warfare that God has set before us. If we are to look for a breakthrough, whether it's here or in any other part of God's work, if we're conscious of a need, we see the assault of the enemy, we see the advance of the enemy, we see our own weakness, we find in our heart a recognition, we need God to do something. Then parallel with that should be the realization, I better get ready for war. Because that's what God does. For God to break through, it is an act of war. And He will break through in the context and in the framework of His people going to battle against the enemy. And that's what we need to set ourselves for. Be careful, lest we expose ourselves to sin and needlessly to be wounded by the enemy and to fall into sin. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Pray and go to war. And God breaks through. That's the final thought. Let's just look at the details that are recorded here of the breakthrough itself. David and his men witness a wonderful display of divine power. It is before me, David says, right in front of my face. For that's the literal significance of the words here. It's at my face. He saw God work. Up close and personal, he saw God break through in power. In a wonderfully personal way. In his presence, in my presence, David says, God broke through. Oh, what it would be to be so personally and intimately involved with God coming in power among his people. The solemn thing about this breakthrough is that in one sense, God broke through in judgment upon the wicked. What is for David and his men an experience of deliverance and blessing and something to be delighted in and gloried in was at the very same time on the other side of the coin a display of divine judgment and wrath. So it ever is. When God acts, there is always two sides to that action, depending upon which side we stand on. For David and his men, as the people of God, as part of the nation of Israel, standing there looking to the Lord, what a glorious instance of deliverance it was. Here was a display of divine power to delight their heart and to be rejoiced in. But from the other perspective, what a fearful operation this was. God breaking out as the breach of waters upon his enemy and drowning them in a display of his power. Cutting them off. Carrying them away in destruction. So it ever is. When God breaks through, there's always two perspectives to be thought of. I think of those words that describe the ultimate breakthrough of God in power in 2 Thessalonians 1, where the apostle there speaks of the coming of Christ. And that coming will, on the one hand, issue in to those troubled saints that Paul is writing to, you who are troubled, rest. With us in that day when the Lord Jesus will be manifested in the day of his appearing. Rest, deliverance, joy, as God comes in power. But what for the wicked? Why, for those who reject the gospel, he comes in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's the same breakthrough. It's exactly the same breakthrough. He comes to do terrible things in righteousness. This breakthrough had the same double-edged sword in view. That which was an answer to prayer for David. That which was a thing of delight and joy and gladness and an answer to the very cry of their heart and brought them safety and deliverance was that which destroyed and cut off the wicked. When we pray for God to break through, we're praying for something that is unspeakably solemn. We're praying that God will begin to work against his enemies. There are instances God works in mercy among his enemies. But equally God also acts in judgment and justice against them. That's what this divine breakthrough was. Part of it involved the judgment of God upon the wicked. There's a wonderful footnote given to us in the verse 21. In the wake of this divine breakthrough, You imagine a tidal wave passing through an area, a great flood, and think of the wreckage that it leaves in its wake. There they left their images. David and his men burned them. You see, when God breaks through, what's left behind? The evidence of the supremacy of God over all other idols. That there is no God like Him. When God breaks through, it is to display, I am God and there is none else. When God broke through, the Philistine idols littered the battlefield as so much trash to be gathered up and burned. That's what happens when God breaks through in power. There is a marvelous display of the emptiness and the worthlessness of idolatry, of having any other God. There is a wonderful display for those that will learn from it. God is not to be trifled with. He is not to be rejected in favor of some other God of man's making. The end of such religion is to be destroyed as God comes in power and to be burned with unquenchable fire. We need a breakthrough. It's something that I personally am conscious of, even in our work here in this valley. We need a breakthrough. We need God to come. I trust that this will be the year when God breaks through. There are lessons that I trust we will lay to heart, even from David's experience here, that this will be a year in which we take great care to keep ourselves from sin. A year of prayer. A year of readiness for the warfare. A year when God comes among us. The name of the place forever immortalized. The events of the day. Baal Perazim. The place of breaches. The interesting thing is that in Isaiah 28, the prophet many, many years later, hundreds of years later, warning of judgment, this time within the nation of Israel because of their rejection of God and His ways, says this, "For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act." Two instances in which God broke out in power against his enemies, in Perazim and Gibeon. Here it's threatened against Israel. We need to learn. If God's going to break through in this valley, I want to be on the right side of the breakthrough. It's something that we all must ask ourselves. If God were to break through, which side would I be on? Am I going to be on the side where that breakthrough is a delight and a joy and the answer to prayer and the evidence of God's power that we long for? Or are you going to be with the Philistines? Where if God comes in power, it will be He's coming in judgment. It will not be an experience of blessing, but an experience of wrath and judgment and destruction. I trust that you're in Christ tonight. You're on the Lord's side and eagerly looking and awaiting for that breakthrough. May God send it for His own name's sake.